Welcome to the golf edition of Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's Summer Golf Wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define golf across South Australia and beyond. It's time to talk golf with sports commentator Ben Hook and state golf representative Sophie Hilditch.
Good on you, Wallace. Thanks very much. Oh, my goodness. What an enormous week it has been in golf. What an enormous week we have ahead of us. I'm so looking forward to discussing everything that is on our plate. The plate is absolutely full. It is piled up. I can see steak, potatoes, vegetables, you name it. It is covering it. And the only way to help me gorge down on it is the number one expert in South Australian golf, Sophie Hilditch. Soph, hello. Long weekend. Have you played any golf? Don't know if you've watched any because all of your Sanderson Cup opponents were in action yesterday. Did you get out yourself, my mate?
No, I didn't actually. I got out at the end of the Sanderson games coming in the end. Unfortunately, I was up in the McLaren Vale having a lovely long weekend, and I thought I don't really want to see my competition play. So I only caught the end of it, and I went and actually had a bit of practice down south and a bit of practice at Royal Adelaide when I came back home and saw some of the girls, some smiling, some not so smiling. But look, no, and I was following our Simpson and Bonner boys as well as our Pipe boys through the phone, so I didn't get to see a lot of golf.
Practicing in private, away from prying eyes, you didn't want to give up. Suddenly you've gained, I don't know, 20, 30 yards off the driver. Is that what you're trying to hide when you front up in a fortnight's time?
Well, when you've got the shanks, Ben, you don't really want anyone else seeing them.
That is, I know what you're doing. You are lulling someone into a false sense of security in 13 days' time. Very, very smart indeed. We are going to discuss everything that has gone on in Sanderson Cup and Simpson Cup. We will get to that a little bit later in the show. If you are a fan of either the Simpson Cup or the Sanderson Cup, I would suggest you go to the Hooked on Sport Facebook page. We have put together extensive reviews on everything that transpired in round three of the Simpson Cup. An incredible round of golf. Three of the four matches finished 4-3. All three of them could have been flipped the either way. They're incredible stories, so I encourage you to go and read them. And, of course, with the Sanderson Cup, the two matches, one very tight one between Glenelg and the Grange and a bit of a blowout between Cooyonga and Blackwood. They are all there, free to read. Go and enjoy it and just immerse yourself in the interclub competition that is run by Golf SA, the elite competition, because it's fascinating stuff right now. Before we get to it, so if we're going to go around the globe, tell us about what happened in the Australian Women's Classic.
Yeah, so the Australian Women's Classic is traditionally being played at Bonneville. Actually, it's Steph Kyriakou's breakout win, which got her on to the Let Access Tour, or the Let Tour, I want to say. So she's a player that we want to watch out at the Australian Open coming up this week, and she's a player that's been outstanding on the LPGA, a lot of top 10 finishes for her at majors. But this time it was played over at the Magenta Shores, and it was Kelsey Bennett who got the win, 13 under. She had a one-shot lead over UK Kaylee McGinty. It was a battle for the front nine hole, but they kept trading birdies, and it was unbelievable golf to watch. And in the end, Kaylee just dropped off a little bit, and Kelsey just kept going full steam ahead. She actually bogeyed the last hole with a comfy three-shot lead coming down 18. But it was unbelievable. But I don't know what's happening. These poor women have had to play in some of the most outrageous weather over the last 2 weeks.
If you go onto the WPGA Facebook page, or it might have been the LET Facebook page, there are photos all over it of women and caddies crouching down, getting as small as they possibly can behind umbrellas as this horrendous squall blows in. I remember watching last week at Wollongong as well. They were talking about, oh, yeah, we suspended play due to weather. And I thought, oh, it was probably, I don't know, a little mild shower or something like that. That golf course was underwater. So for 2 weeks straight, they have absolutely copped it, the women, on the WPGA. They're going to come to Cooyonga and be very, very relieved with the experience they're going to get, I suspect, because it has been horrendous.
Kelsey Bennett, absolutely unbelievable. She's played well these past 2 weeks in those conditions, and it really shows that her ball striking is incredible. She's in control of where her ball is going. She knows how to play all the shots. She's someone you should be looking out for at Kyonga. I think she's having a blazing year at the moment, and I'm sure she'll be over to Europe or even the US later on in the year, and I wish her all the best of luck.
26 years of age, so she's been around a little while now. Did you come across her in amateur events?
Unfortunately, I did, yes. I had her in an interstate series, and I still distinctly remember it. I think she was 7 under through 10 holes. I wasn't even really doing anything wrong, but she was doing everything absolutely right. I can't remember the score, Hooky. It's probably embarrassing, 7 or 6 and something like that. And I came off the course thinking, I think I was even par or 1 under, thinking I played okay, and got absolutely smoked by Kelsey Bennett.
Yeah. Oh, there you are. Well, it's nice to have a little bit of a personal touch there. Yeah, she does have the capacity to rattle off birdies. I think she made 3 or 4 birdies in a row early in that back nine, which in those tough conditions is pretty incredible. So, yeah, she'll be one to watch this coming week at the Women's Australian Open at Kyonga. Our Kyonga preview will drop on Thursday morning. Looking forward to catching up with you again later in the week as we work towards what's going to be a massive week for you, me, Wallace, and the entire Hooked On Sport team. Can we talk about the API, Arnold Palmer Invitational at the Bay Hill course? It was won by Akshay Bhatia. He won it in a playoff over Daniel Berger. The last playoff in this tournament was way back in 1999. Akshay was born in 2002. So that probably gives you an indication of how far back it's gone. Tiger Woods just used to win this tournament routinely. So it was nice to see that there was a real fight down the stretch. And it really was a good test. The PGA Tour has produced a lot of very soft golf courses in the first 6 weeks that we've seen the events, including some of the signatures. So this was a far stiffer test. Very, very difficult, thick penal rough. Very, very firm greens that do release and roll out. If you're coming with a mid-iron from the rough, it's very, very difficult to hold these greens. So that was great watch. It was a really good test. It was pro golf worthy. The knock on Akshay Bhatia is that he's been a bit of a choker, so to get this done coming from 5 back at the beginning of day 4, I don't think that necessarily solves your choker tag, because you want to be able to be a front runner, get the lead after 54 holes and then go on and win it. But at the same time, this will do him the world of confidence to be able to rescue it from this. On 16 was probably the clincher, Soph. So he was a couple back, hit the 6-iron of his life, as he described it, the par 5, approached with a 6-iron, hit it to 3.5 feet, rolled it in for eagle, and that locked it up and, of course, took it to the playoff. Geez, only a kid. He's 1 year younger than the Højgaard twins. He's 2 years younger than Ludvig Åberg. He's 4 years younger than Victor Hovland and 5 years younger than Colin Morikawa. So you think about all of those guys who Morikawa has 2 majors, so he probably stands out from there. But all of these guys that we think are the next major winner, and here's Akshay Bhatia, who is younger by at least 1 year than all of them. So he's going to be an interesting watch. Probably the other story out of it all, Soph, Scotty Scheffler finished the week at Bay Hill ranked 44th in the field in strokes gained approach. Now, that's his worst field ranking and that statistic in a tournament measured for all 72 holes since the 2022 Players. So imagine having your worst ball striking week in 4 years and you still finished in a tie for 44th, basically in the front half of the tournament.
Yeah, it's a bit outrageous. Akshay actually credited this win to his niece that passed away in 2023. And he said he pictured a rainbow over the cross of the 18th hole. And he said, I knew my niece was looking out for me and looking down on me there. And I thought it was a beautiful story. Do you know he's won all 3 of his PGA Tour victories through playoffs now? So I know you spoke about him choking, but I thought when you twist it like that, he's actually won in sudden death every single time.
Do you know who's the last to win his first three tournaments on the PGA Tour through playoffs?
I'm not sure. I know Akshay is the 8th person to do it, but I do not know who was the last.
One Cameron Smith.
Hey, that's very interesting. Good little twist, a little Australian twist you put there.
Cool little story, isn't it? So, talk about Australian twists. The Aussie Ripper boys were in action at LIV Golf Hong Kong.
Yeah, well, it was a good one for John Rahm. John Rahm has finally won his 3rd LIV Golf Tour. The past 4 events, he's been coming runners-up. So I think it's amazing that he's finally stepped over the line. I was feeling a bit sorry for John Rahm, thinking he might have lost it a little bit. Good to see him get it down on the stretch, 23 under, an impressive round. I'm excited to see John Rahm coming good because the Masters is around the corner. John Rahm is playing some incredible golf. I watched him closely at LIV Golf Adelaide, and he was incredible. Those hands have never been better, I don't think. And the Four Aces held up the trophy. Dustin Johnson's boy held it up yet again.
Yeah, spot on, Soph. I've got one issue with LIV. At the Cognizant Classic last week, it was a full field 156-player event. The cut was at even par. 68 players made the cut. So 90 players were over par. If we go back to Genesis Invitational at Riviera, the cut was at even par. 51 of 72 players made the cut. So there was 21 players over par. Now, at Bay Hill, the cut was 2 over. And it was in ties. Essentially half the field, around 40 guys, have finished over par. How many players in the first three tournaments that LIV has held do you think have finished over par?
I've got no idea, Hookie.
The answer is six.
Six only.
Only six in three tournaments. There was one that finished over par in Riyadh, four that finished over par at the Grange, and one has finished over par at LIV Hong Kong. The winning score has been 24 under par, 23 under par, 23 under par. And LIV, quite frankly, runs the risk of continually setting itself up as not a serious golf tournament if they continue to set everything up like a dead set pillow fight. You cannot have a tournament which features John Rahm and Cameron Smith and Elvis Smiley and all of these big names around making sure that the worst part of your field doesn't get completely blown out to sea. And I think it is underwhelming to watch a tournament which is very, very easy for the good players and not penal on the poor players. For six guys to finish over par across 12 rounds of golf, I think just says to me, you're not actually testing these guys properly. And that's going to be a watch for me long term. I can handle it once or twice, but three times in a row suggests that this is a real pattern now. I will have all eyes out on what they do in South Africa, which is where they're heading to this week. But if everyone's shooting under par one more time, then I'm going to call it out that LIV aren't playing proper golf.
The hookie police is coming for him. But I do agree with you. I don't like watching. I hadn't noticed that. Normally staring at the top of the leaderboard. I don't like watching golf when it's too easy. And I often think 23 under for me is not particularly entertaining either. So if I look at the top end of the leaderboard, I'm not particularly entertained at a birdie fest. I'd prefer to see them struggle a little bit more than what they have been doing.
The Australasia-Japan combined event that was at Royal Auckland and Grange over the course of the last week. Wonderful event. It's the first ever collaboration between the Japanese and the Australian tours. For Auckland, it was their first professional golf event since 2004. Travis Smyth outlasted our boy Jack Thompson on the sixth playoff hole, Soph, of all things. Four times they went down 18, which is a par five with the most diabolical green you have ever seen in your life. And they made par four times on that hole. They flipped across to the short par four third hole. Travis Smyth on the second attempt at the short par four third drove it to the front edge, two putted. Our boy Jack Thompson, the South Australian, could only manage par on that hole, and it's a Smyth trophy. So he gets the opportunity to play on the Japan tour. I mean, how cool is that? Some more playing opportunities. And the fact that these smaller tours are negotiating to come together and try and develop some shared value, I think is wonderful. So great event. Well done. And congratulations to Travis Smyth. Would have loved to have seen Jack Thompson get up, who shot a course record equaling 8 under 64 on the final day. So that's some genuine stuff going on from Jack. And he falls short on the sixth playoff hole, but congratulations to Travis Smyth.
Yeah, congratulations to Travis, but I was a little bit upset to not see Jack Thompson get it over the line. But Jack Thompson looking in great form for future events. He struggled a bit at the Men's Australian Open back in November, December last year, but from that, he's barely stepped a foot wrong.
So just before we move away from the Australasia Japan sponsored by ISPS Handa, Lachlan Barker, T11. Once again, my boy is going to break through one day, Soph. I'm very confident about it. Jack Buchanan in a tie for 15th Adam Bland had another really good week, ended up in a tie for 48th. Great to see him still touring. I mean, he was really heading towards a coaching career not so long ago, and he's had a really good, solid year on the Australasian Tour, so I'm really pleased for him. Jack Carter didn't make the weekend, rounds out the South Australians. I beg your pardon, Jason Norris, who, former South Australian, if you like, yeah, also did miss the cut. Riversdale, an event close to your heart, Soph, a regular participant there in your time. What happened at the Riversdale Cup at the Riversdale Golf Course just out there at Mount Waverley outside of Melbourne?
Yeah, well, the Riversdale Cup is an incredible event. You're right. I have played at multiple times. I've missed many cuts there, but I've also had some good finishes. So it's a bit of a mixed bag for me at Riversdale Cup. It's a shorter course in Victoria, but it's member run, which I love because there's so many volunteers that are all members. They're so proud of their club. I've actually been to Australian Amateurs and Masters of the Am afterwards and run into some of the volunteers, and they always know my name and still come and say hello.
Wow.
It's an incredible atmosphere. I love every moment. They always love a good chat. They'll help find your golf ball when you go a bit offline, which is also quite helpful. In fact,
you never do that.
Sometimes I do at Riversdale. I can tell you that.
Middle
now.
Of the fairway, hill ditch, they call it.
But look, it was a great event. It was incredible. Some of the leaders, I mean, Jazzy Roberts, we have to speak about her first. The Victorian Jazzy Roberts, who is our Australian amateur champion this year, she shot an outstanding 11 under. She was actually, I think, 14 under after 54 holes. So she kind of got a bit shaky towards the end, but shakiness didn't really matter when she had that much of a lead over Amelia Harris. And then our South Australian Amelia Winnie, who finished 5 under and a spot for third place, who also had an incredible tournament in her own regard.
Two things stand to mind there. I've never known what it's like to get a bit shaky when I've got an 8-shot lead. I've never really had that experience before, Soph. A big bouquet of flowers to Millie Winnie, friend of the pod here at Hooked on Sport. 4 straight rounds at Riversdale and then rush home on Sunday night to get to Adelaide this morning and take part in the Monday qualifying for the Women's Australian Open. Didn't have her best stuff, probably not really surprised. She'd be exhausted after playing 72 straight holes and then having to travel interstate to front up for another 18. I mean, I guess that's what it's like in professional golf from time to time if you're trying to Monday qualify into events. All credit to her for going through that full process. And, you know, for someone who only ever played in 1 Australian Open, she's still one of our, you know, toughest, most competitive amateurs. And I'm imagining you're expecting to see the full brunt of that when Royal Adelaide takes on the Grange in about 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, I expect we will. Hopefully it's not me directly up against her. I prefer not to. She's an incredible golfer. You can never absolutely count her out. I think it's impressive that she flew back Sunday night to be able to play the Monday qualifier. And like you said, didn't have her best stuff. That's golf. And like you said, she'd probably be fairly tired after that. But 4 straight rounds under par at Riversdale is incredibly impressive. They get their greens so quick, so whack. You're aiming 90 degrees away from the hole to try and let it fall in if you end up on the wrong side. So it is an incredible effort at Riversdale. I have to touch on the men quickly as well. Yep. Jed Edwards finished 14 under, hopped into a playoff with Hamish, who shot 68 in his final round. They would have been making their way up the 18th hole, which is an incredible short par 4. It's more exciting even for the men because it's drivable, but it's surrounded by bunkers and trees and a clubhouse in the background. And yes, I have seen many of a ball fly straight into that clubhouse, which is OB. It's a tough little green, couple of little tiers in it. Jed Edwards with the win, absolutely incredible. And Tom Ryan got the win for the All Abilities.
Did you keep an eye on what the South Australian lads did? So I think Frank Vukic was around the place and Cade Bryant had a pretty good week as well.
Yeah, you're dead right, Hooky. Frank finished 13 under, so 1 shot back from hopping into that playoff, an incredible tournament for him. And Cade Bryant, T26 with a 3 over, another great round. Like I said, Riversdale is not an easy course. It might be short, but it's deadly around those greens.
Well done, Soph. I knew you would be across it. Just because we touched on Millie Winnie, who fronted up for the Australian Open Monday qualifying today. It was a bit of a wipeout for the South Australian girls. The five to qualify are Maria Parra from Spain, Akari Hayashi from British Columbia, Mathilde Patel, a 20-year-old Italian, Keiho Shuto, Japanese player who did very well in the Vic Open a couple of weeks ago. And the last one is Lara Thompson, an amateur from New South Wales. She plays at the Australian Golf Club. So if you'll love this, if she makes the cut, she'll celebrate her 18th birthday when she plays the final 18 holes on Sunday. What a way to celebrate your birthday. Play 18 holes in the Australian Open and then maybe have your first ever champagne. What a way to do it.
Incredible stuff. I hope she has more than one champagne if she makes it all the way to the final round.
Well, she might not need two or three, let's be honest, though. A young kid, just take it one at a time, young lady, and just see how you go. One down and then see where you're at. Sophie, we have spent a lot of time focusing in on South Australian pennant golf. We've had a lot of fun doing it. We're getting some wonderful feedback from people around the pennant community. We really appreciate that it is being appreciated. Let's just take some time now to cover off what has gone on in the Simpson and Sanderson Cup matches. With your thoughts on the Sanderson Cup, the match of the day, which was the Grange overcoming defending champion Glenelg 3-2 in what was a really tense knife edge match.
Yeah, it was a huge one. I wasn't sure who was going to win out of Grange and Glenelg, both incredibly strong teams, both got young ones in their team, but both have experience as well. They've got kind of the perfect mix that you want in a Sanderson team. There was one whitewash, which went to Elise over Jill Hodge, which was a 6-4 win. But apart from that, every game really went down to the wire. Steph Keelock ended up getting the job done 2-1 over Zoe Manton. Sarah Crocker, who I heard was 3-under through 9 holes, a very impressive round, won 3-1 over Mia Louie. Mayer won over Caitlin Roberts, 1-up coming down the 18th. That's actually when I first rocked up to Rural Adelaide, so I did see that whole play out. Caitlin Roberts returning from being a professional golfer, so an incredible return for her as well. And Louise Glennon from Grange got the job done over Grace Ferrier, 2-1. But an incredible match, really coming down to the wire. It sounds like just a putt here and there, and it could have gone the other way.
We talked last week about Blackwood and that we thought that they were going to really be competitive this year. Or, gee, they got a punch in the nose from Kionga first up, who win 4.5 to 1.5.
Yeah, again, it does look like a punch up when you see the 4.5 to 1.5. Obviously, that looks like a punch up. But when you actually start diving into the scores, it's really not that bad. Matilda Miles got the job done over Ebony 2-1. Emily Geotis 3-2 over experienced Gail McPherson. Hayley Hunt, well, she really did blaze it through, returning again to pennant golf. She was 7-6 over Hannah Constance, friend of the pod. Tammy Twiss debuting halved with Isabel Watson, who used to be a Royal Adelaide member. Scarlett Parker also debuting 3-2 over Angela Masters. But again, Hooky, those scores, they're coming down the wire. It's not like Blackwood didn't put up a fight. It sounded again, few putts, few missed tee shots. That's all it was. I don't think Blackwood should be disheartened by the 4.5 to 1.5. They're definitely still in this competition and they're definitely still to watch out for.
Yeah, I don't know that the course completely suited Blackwood. They're pretty long, a lot of those Kuyonga girls, and it is a long course, so that was always going to be a bit of a challenge for Blackwood. Hooked on Sport spoke to Emily Geotis earlier today. This is what she had to say.
That's a really good result for you guys, I imagine. Blackwood, sort of Sophie and I had identified as maybe the club that might make a bit of a move this year, but gee, you put them back into place.
Yeah, well, we just, so we went into it thinking we knew it was going to be a lot of experienced players coming back. Obviously, Ebony and Hannah, we hadn't seen in a little bit, so we didn't really know what to expect. So we put in some good preparation in the months leading up to it. Yeah, things went our way yesterday, which was really good. I'm really proud of our younger players, Tammy and Scarlett. They really held their own out there. And we all had lots of fun. I think Royal Adelaide suits a lot of our golf games. We have a few longer hitters in our team as well. The younger girls can hit it quite a long way. So that really played to our advantage.
Hayley, yourself and Matilda are old hands, but tell us a little bit about Tammy and Scarlett, who I had a quick look through. Are they both on debut yesterday?
They were, yep. So they're both 15, I believe, wow, in year 10 at school. Oh. Yep. They played Pike last year, but before that were in Sharps. They've been in our women's side for the last 2 years. And at Kionga, we really prioritised a cohesive Sanderson and Pike side. Like, we're very much one team. We go for team dinners every Thursday night at our manager Janie's house. And it's, yeah, so they felt part of the team for the last 2 years. But yesterday was their Sanderson debut. We're all so proud of them because it's not an easy course, Royal Adelaide, especially the length of it. But they did so well. Tammy was really close to winning, I believe. She held her nerve and came away with a half.
And Scarlett to win on debut, she must have been tremendously excited.
Yeah, she was so excited. Great result for Scarlett against a very experienced opponent. I've played Angela before and she's a great golfer.
That's Emily Giotis there from the Kionga Golf Club. They are top of the tree after one round of the Sanderson Cup. Royal Adelaide, Sophie's team, will be in action the week after the Women's Australian Open. So, yeah, looking forward to getting Sophie's thoughts on how her team is shaping up next week. Soph, do you want to start talking about the Simpson Cup?
Yeah, would love to start talking about the Simpson Cup. You got out there that morning, didn't you?
I did see bits and pieces of it. I've had a conversation with a number of players over the course of the week, a number of pennant managers as well, had a great opportunity to scour what was going on. Where do you want to start?
Yes, Hookie, let's go to the hosting team, Royal Adelaide, who just got it over the line against Thaxted Park 4-3.
Just got it over the line is exactly right, Soph. It would have been catastrophic for Royal Adelaide if they dropped this one at home to Thaxted Park. They've got the toughest draw of anyone to come home from here. They've got the three Tier 1 clubs still to face and the Vines, who are high-flying at the moment. So if they'd gone down to Thaxted Park at home, that was, I wouldn't say the end of their season, but my word, it would have been an absolute uphill battle. They have got a 14-year-old to thank for the rescue mission. It was 14-year-old Billy White who holed a birdie putt from around 15 feet on the last hole to defeat Jordan Sherratt, one up. That was the difference. He was actually one down with two to play and then has won 17 and 18 to go one up. And I can tell you now that the Royal Adelaide boys were forlorn with the way that match was playing out. And so Billy's made a 30-foot putt on 17 and a 15-foot putt on 18. He knew full well where the match stood. He knew he was the last guy in. He knew it was 3-3. He knew that he had to make it or that was going to flip the result. I spoke to Billy Cawthorn about Billy White, the 14-year-old. This is what Billy Cawthorn had to say.
Yeah, I mean, I've really only known him probably this year, but yeah, I don't know, he's pretty incredible, actually, just the way he goes about it. He just, I don't know, takes no time, smashes it, goes and gets it. Like, it's, yeah, proper youngster golf to watch is good. And even, like, a genuine kid, too. Like, asks questions, like, yeah, he's a ripper. Like, I actually haven't met many kids like him, to be honest. He's pretty incredible.
What will that do for him? I mean, you were young once too. What will that do for him at this level to be able to get out of jail like that and lead the team to what's a really critical win?
Well, yeah, it was one of those things as well. Like, it wasn't as if he had no idea the circumstance of it either. Like, he was fully aware that that putt had to go in and it did, and he did it. So, I don't know. I think that's going to be a massive catalyst for everything going forward for him. It's pretty incredible, to be honest. Like, I don't know, like, I was young like that once too, but I screwed up 50 times before I did that. He's just done it from the get-go. It's pretty impressive, actually. Everyone was watching and he knew that we were, if that didn't go in, we have, which is obviously not what you want at home. So, but yeah, hats off to him.
Billy Cawthorn there, the star for Royal Adelaide. So if you heard what he had to say, 14-year-old kid holding the team up on his shoulders. Fascinating stuff, isn't it?
A big statement from Billy Cawthorn, one that Billy White should be really happy to receive because Billy Cawthorn is a star in his own right, probably leaving himself a bit short there because Billy Cawthorn is an outstanding player and I've seen him many of a time get Royal Adelaide out of some grief just like Billy White has. So I'm sure Billy White is looking up to Billy Cawthorn just as much as Billy Cawthorn is looking down to Billy White at the moment.
A couple of positives for Royal Adelaide. Alex Pacifico gets his first win of the season. He's been playing at number one, so he mixes it with some of the real top end of town. He got over Pacey Lyle, 6-5. Matt Lawson was at 4, dropped down to 7, played Jamie Dunnicliffe, won that 6-5 as well. So a couple of important wins for Royal Adelaide. They'll probably still be waiting for Will Arnold, and we know the quality of Will Arnold. He just hasn't quite got into top gear yet. He went down to Jake Eadie. So Brett and Jake Eadie came into this match. Anthony Olsen was the one who swapped with Matt Lawson and went down. So yeah, I just reckon if they can get Will Arnold firing, they'll have enough resources going into those bigger matches. It'd be very difficult if they don't get a little bit of a lift in form for Will Arnold. If he plays at his best, they're a really hot team, Royal Adelaide. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch. Where do you want to go from here, mate?
Take us straight to the next game that came out. It was Grange against Glenelg. Grange got the win 5.5 to 1.5. Grange must have been celebrating big on Sunday night back at the club, beating Glenelg again, the premiership team from last year.
Premiership team from last year. This was the grand final rematch from last year on the same course where they played it last year, and that was not lost on the Grange as well. So this was definitely something that the Grange took into this contest, and to get it done 5.5, 1.5, I know they will be very, very satisfied. Declan Nunn makes his Simpson Cup debut after an excellent run in the Bonner Cup and gets home. Blair Christie made a mad dash home from the Riversdale Cup on Saturday, having missed the cut on the Friday. He comes in and wins 7-6, beating Simon Galley. So Declan on debut gets his Grange Simpson Cup cap, his player 139. I know they make a lot of that, the Grange, and I think it's a great little concept, like their baggy green. Alex Hendrick playing at the top, got it done over Jackson Leonard. I made the point, Soph, about Ryan Fletcher, Mick Phillips and Will Starkey. They were the three for Glenelg that had to stand up. All three went down. Sorry, that's not quite true, because I had Jackson Leonard in that list as well, but Jackson also went down as well. So yeah, they just haven't had the next wave come through with the departure of Josh Hayes, Zach Bray, and of course, Cade Bryant was away at the Riversdale Cup. So look, they're not completely out of it yet, Glenelg. There's still plenty to play for, 4 rounds still to go. And there are some guys that are firing really nicely. Nick Wake is doing a wonderful job for them. They'll get Cade Bryant back. Michael Mann, I wouldn't rule him out. He had a wonderful half match against Ross Steedman. That was an absolute cracker. But the Grange, they're in really good shape. They'll like where they are. They went down week one to Cooyonga, but they've been exceptional since then. I spoke to Ross Steedman shortly after this round. Here's what Ross had to say.
Grand final rematch, taking on the defending champions, 5.5, 1.5. I imagine you probably feel like that is as good an outcome as you could take away from Royal.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, going into it, there's a bit of, as you say, last year's result in our heads and want to get over the line, especially the same venue as the final last year. Glenelg will be the first ones to say they're a little bit weakened with Cade being away with Riversdale. And we were lucky in a sense that, fortunately, Blair missed the cut on a personal level for him, but he came back last night, so he played in our lineup today, which is very commendable for the young lad. So, but yeah, and in terms of firing on all cylinders, we had a good day, and Darren missed out as well, just doing family duties as well after having his young kid. So we gave a debut actually to Declan Nunn at number 7 today. So big win for him today. And 5.5, 1.5, we'd take a hand off at the beginning of the day against Glenelg for sure.
So, if the other two matches were absolute thrillers in the Simpson Cup, it was Tea Tree Gully who caused what I think was a bit of a boil over, knocking over Cooyonga. It means that they've gone 3-0 at the start to start the year. They've beaten Glenelg, Royal Adelaide, and now Cooyonga. That is three massive scalps. They sit on top of the table. But this was done quite incredibly. The match was split at 3-3. The number one match was Tea Tree Gully's Chris Austin taking on Joel Durnford. Joel Durnford was 2 up as they walked off the 14th green. Chris Austin has won 15, 16 and 17 and then halved 18 to get Tea Tree Gully out of it. The Gullies have had three matches that have gone to the 18th hole and won all three of them. And you can imagine how tight that must have been right throughout. So Tea Tree Gully nail Cooyonga 4-3 in the tightest possible margin you can imagine. And now Tea Tree Gully are top And the Vines are second. We'll get to the Vines. They are an incredible story. So we've got Tier 2 clubs, first and second in the Simpson Cup, which I didn't really think was possible in the modern era. I spoke to Dylan Reed, the manager of the Tea Tree Gully Golf Club. This is what he said.
The one thing that sort of stood out to me, Dylan, is if every team, you sort of look through and someone's struggled a bit or one or two guys haven't really done much, but it feels like everyone across your team has put their hand up in some way, shape or form.
I think so. And it's often the score doesn't necessarily reflect how people have played. Like, you know, Matt McMahon, he got a bit of a pace thing today, but he's like, I was playing pretty good. Maliki was just getting up and down from everywhere. Mm. And on the 10th, he hit it over the back, and Matt's like, oh, here we go, I'll get one back here. And he's like, chipped it like real hard, and it's like bounced twice and then hit the pin and dropped straight in to win with a birdie. And so he's like, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
So it was kind of, there was a bit of that as well. And, you know, so yeah, it doesn't really reflect sometimes how people play. What we've done really well as a team is just people have won where they've needed to. A little bit of luck's gone our way, I'll definitely say that. You know, in any sporting competition, there is an element of luck in everything, and I think that's why we all love sport, isn't it? Because you never really know how it's going to go until you kind of line up against the next bloke.
So another one to come back early from the Riversdale Cup was Maliki Marshall. I wrote him down as the little maestro. He put on a short game masterclass. Gee, I want to see this guy go and do really amazing things.
Yeah, Malachi is a little rocket, but we have to apologise to our listeners. We both called Kyonga winning this game, so I'm feeling a bit sorry and sad. This is why I don't gamble ever, because my money was dead on Kyonga, but Tea Tree Gully getting the win. Like you said, three games going down 18. Very impressive.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is, Soph. And no, you're right. I mean, we did both tip Kyonga, but we did say that this match had just a little bit of a whiff of an upset about it. I don't even know if it was an upset, really. Kyonga was certainly a little bit depleted because Maliki came back, but Frank Vukic was out, of course. Tea Tree Gully at full strength. Will Summerfield didn't play this match. It was his honeymoon that he went away to Fiji for. He shared that with me in the week leading up, but that's a massive win for Tea Tree Gully. 3-0, and you know, you feel like they've probably got some matches that they'll be very confident about. I think they've got Thaxted Park the week after the bye for the Women's Australian Open. So if they can get that done, 4-0, they are in very, very good shape. So if the final match of the Simpson Cup was Mount Osmond taking on the Vines, and the Mount gave the Vines the biggest fright of its life. Eventually, it was a 4-3 win to the Vines, but this was box office stuff. The match again fell to the number two clash between the Vines' Ben Pearce and Mount Osmond's Ken Chan. I will tell you a little bit of inside pool here. The number one match was Dan Searle versus Sam Earle. Earle versus Searle. I love that. They were the number ones, but they went off first. Sam Earle had a buck show to get to. Don't you love that? So there's a gentleman's agreement. He said, look, and to be all class to the Vines to come clean and explain what was going on, and rather than just, you know, sneak him in the order at number seven, they said what was going on. So that was a wonderful little gentleman's agreement. So the last match on course was Ben Pearce versus Ken Chan. Chan won 16, Pearce won 17. I think that's right. So Pearce was one up on the last hole. We're off the blue tees here at Royal Adelaide, Soph. He drove it on the green. Can you just imagine that for a second? It's about a 370-meter drive. My understanding is it might have caught the road, which allowed it to kick along a little bit. 12 feet from the pin off the tee. Ken Chan drove it into the left rough. His approach nearly went in for eagle. Ended up about 15 feet away. Made the 15-foot putt, but Ben Pearce two-putted for birdie on the final hole. I can't believe I'm saying that. And the Vines get over the line 4-3. I spoke to Paul Manns, their team manager. Paul gave a wonderful description about the match between Pearce and Chan, but yeah, he's feeling very confident about where his crew is at.
Basically, we had three wins, they had three wins, and Ben, he was all square with two to play.
Right.
So on the par three, 16th.
Yep.
Ben hit it left side in the pot, and the other guy was right of the green. And Ben was one up at that stage. Ben bladed it really over the other side of the green. The guy putted up to a couple of feet.
Yep.
Another guy then brought it back to half, two to go. Ben hit a, they both hit really good drives down 17. The other guy hit it in the right front bunker.
Yep.
Ben hit the green. Ben two putted. The other guy missed his putt for a bogey.
Yep.
So we were one up going down the last three games each apiece.
Yeah.
And then the third, Ben hit his, and then the other guy hit his. And we were walking down as a big group trying to find where Ben's ball was, you know. And we're looking and looking. And then someone said, there's a ball up on the green about 12 foot from the pin.
Oh, you're kidding.
And he's driven the green. He must have, it did, it hit the road.
Oh.
And that gave it some extra carry or bounce and ended up 12 feet from the pin. So this other guy was left.
Yeah.
He was left in the rough. He's then hit his ball and it's nearly slammed on in.
My goodness.
And then it's gone about 10 foot past. No, maybe more because he had the first putt. Maybe 13 foot past.
Yep.
He then got up, this guy, and hold his putt for birdie.
Oh, wow.
So then Ben two-putted for a birdie to stay one up to win the match 4-3.
Unbelievable.
Imagine if this guy, you know, hold his second and Ben hold his putt to half the match with the Eagles. And it nearly happened. So, it was close. We got away with it, 4-3. So it's a win's a win. So we were happy with that.
And so if that is by far and away the most extensive pennant wrap in South Australia, it is wonderfully poised now. We've got Tea Tree Gully on top, the Vines in second place, Cooyonga we expected to be in and amongst it, the Grange in third, Royal Adelaide in fourth, Glenelg, and we've got a watch on them. They're one win from three contests in sixth place. Mount Osmond have lost no friends. I mean, we were just talking about them going down against the Vines, but that is an exceptional performance from them. They should be really proud of it. And Thaxted Park, bottom, but that was an improved performance against Royal Adelaide as well. I really feel like this is as even as we're going to get the competition. You talked about how we both tipped Cooyonga and were wrong. I feel like the more we do tips in this competition, the more we're going to get some wrong ones and be offering some mea culpas on Mondays.
Yeah, most likely, Ben. The competition is so unbelievable. There's so many incredible individual golfers in South Australia at the moment, both for the men and the women. The Sanderson Cup was also an interesting tournament over the weekend. So I'm expecting we're going to get a lot of these bets wrong, but I think we'll still get a few right.
Huge week ahead of us, Soph. Women's Australian Open gets underway Thursday morning at the Cooyonga Golf Club. You have spent your afternoon with a couple of reasonable players, Hannah Green, Grace Kim, Minji Lee. Just tell us about that experience. You were the leader of this press conference, I believe.
I wouldn't call me the leader of the press conference. I was definitely, I stood out a little bit. I was the only female there, but I'm getting quickly used to that. It was unbelievable to catch up with those stars. Had a lot to say and they had a lot to offer. Incredible experience, loved every moment, and looking forward to this week coming up. We have a lot planned out and I'm very excited to spend more time with the Hooked On Sport family watching Australian golf, these incredible women. There's so many incredible players coming out this week and I encourage our listeners to get out and watch.
We will be putting together our preview episode on Wednesday night. We'll have plenty of content in and amongst that. We'll put together daily wraps every day and then, of course, a big show Sunday night. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. I'm always enjoying your insight and expertise. Go and get an early night, my friend, because you've got a lot of work ahead of you over the next 8 days.
Right back at you, Hookie. Thank you so much and have a good week. Cannot wait for it.
See you on Wednesday.
With the last putt sunk, that's a wrap on this golf edition of Hooked On Sport. Thanks for listening. Help us meet more golfers just like you by following us and leaving a review. We look forward to your company on the next golf edition of Hooked On Sport.